Hello and welcome to the Dive and Dig News Podcast. This is our second news piece, and I thought this time I would take you closer to the Honor Frost Foundation's area of activity. We're going to Lebanon. As you may or may not be aware, the Honor Frost Foundation is a charitable organisation that conducts research and support into maritime archaeology in the eastern Mediterranean. And Lebanon is one of the countries that we work extensively in. And I'm talking to my colleague Nassim Rad and Sayantani Niyogi. And they've been working on a really exciting project in the aftermath of that horrendous blast that hit Beirut port back in August 2020. So they've been working on some really important documentation activities since the horrendous blast, which is really feeding into our understanding of the maritime archaeology, particularly of the port region of Beirut through time. So maybe Nassim, I could start with you. I know that you've been working really hard on documenting and compiling data and that you've just come to the completion of this project. Can you tell me a little bit about what you've learned from this and the context for it?
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Lucy. I guess to start, it might be good to just get a little bit of background. So as you said, the Beirut Port Project was envisioned after the horrific August 4th explosion, essentially to provide some sort of characterization of the archaeology, because so many teams had come in to help with a lot of the, you know, obvious issues that were taking place, not just in terms of immediate emergency aid, but also kind of assessing the damage to the cultural heritage of the city. So this project initially was envisioned to provide kind of a baseline of support for the various teams that were working with a lot of this cultural heritage. And we were focused, obviously, on the maritime archaeology of Beirut. So this is how it started. And when we began to work, we started to review the data to get a baseline knowledge of what is out there on Beirut, what exists, what do we know about the archaeology and what people have done in the past. And we quickly began to realize that while there were a lot of publications, there was data that was out there, there was no place where it was gathered in a centralized format, and that would have been quite useful.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because the Department of Antiquities, in effect, the DGA as the acronym, they're essentially responsible for documenting, recording, protecting archaeology and cultural heritage in Lebanon. That's right, isn't it?
Exactly. So essentially, there have been numerous excavations and various archaeological projects that have been undertaken in Beirut by the directorate, so the archaeological arm of the government of Lebanon. They're called the Directorate General of Antiquities, so I'll be referring to them as the DGA throughout this podcast. They're responsible for monitoring and overseeing the excavation of a project, whether it's done by them directly or a partner institution.
So Nassim, I mean, as an archaeologist, I have a great idea of what you mean by data, but our listeners aren't necessarily that tuned in. You know, we could be asking you about anything, really. So what sort of data is it that you've been collating and compiling?
So we're interested in maritime archaeology specifically, which is any archaeology related to the sea. But archaeology itself is the scientific study of artifacts and features that show or indicate any form of human presence. So we're interested in things, basically. The data that we are gathering it's a wide range. So first of all, I should say that we're gathering it from excavations that took place in the past. So a lot of these excavations took place after the Lebanese Civil War in the mid-90s and might not exist today. They might have been removed and stored in a storehouse somewhere. So this data could be, pottery. It could be some sort of feature that is not movable. So, you know, remnants of an ancient harbor. It could be a building. It could be a temple. So it's a combination of physical remains that might still exist today, but also it's in a way kind of the knowledge that we're getting from it. So we would record, for example, if there was a distribution of ceramics that was found at the time of excavation of a certain region of Beirut, and now that's gone. If that was noted in a publication, we would enter it in. The same way that we might enter that, you know, Roman baths were found in this region of the city, and those still exist today. You can actually see them today.
So, I mean, I'd love to bring in Sayantani here, because I know that you've been involved working in the region. I mean, obviously Nassim is from Lebanon, but you've come in with a different hat on, I guess. Originally, you were part of the EAMENA, the Endangered Archaeology in the Middle East and North Africa project, which you're still part of. And I believe that at that particular time, the Culture Protection Fund, the UK-based sort of aid, cultural aid fund in many ways, was providing some support for training in the region, and you started working with the director at the DGA employees, and I think that's been a really important aspect of this work. Do you want to tell us a bit about your relationship with the people on the ground? Because I think that's always key, isn't it? Having good relationships always develops a much more productive, effective and sustainable, long-lasting product.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Lucy, so before I started working in Lebanon, I had no idea about Lebanon, apart from the fact that they have very good food.
which is very true, yes.
But we started working in Lebanon, well, I started working in Lebanon in 2018, December, because we started this training program with our colleagues from the DGA in the EAMENA system. Now, what is this EAMENA system? So Endangered Archaeology in the Middle East and North Africa project. And we have a database where we try and collect all sorts of data possibly we can. And it's like, for us, it's a database which is meant for research, which is meant for all sorts of purposes. So when we started working with Lebanon, we realized that it is not possible for them to enter data into our main EAMENA database. We thought that it will be good if we form a separate version for them, which is a Lebanon EAMENA database, and train them into that system so that they can use this data later as their own national data set and keep on adding data, change data, do whatever, you know, is useful for them with that system. We were trying to enhance on that data set, take photographs, document the condition assessments, you know, risk factors that these heritage places were facing, all sorts of things very quickly.
No, it's fantastic, because I mean it was so devastating, that blast, not, you know, on so many levels for the people that live. I mean, having worked with colleagues in Lebanon, you know, who are based in Lebanon, you just see it from the outside and think how people have lived through all of that. But at the end of the day, we've got to, you know, pull our socks up, resume our lives, as it were, you know, and cultural heritage is such an important sort of linchpin in many ways. That's something that connects people to their past, their present and their future. So I think we really have a comprehensive understanding is really critical. And as you say, you've now produced this amazing resource that the DGA can use and apply and build on. And you've got these amazing colleagues who were trained up in not only using the database, but also the condition assessment of the sites. And they brought together all the archaeology relating to the port and the broader region of Beirut, which is just really exciting. So I think it's a fantastic project. So what's going to happen next? How do you think this is going to be useful in the future? Do you envisage more projects of this nature?
The short answer is yes. We are definitely hoping that we can make this sort of the standard. But it's a lot of working parts, and you know, we had to develop the methodology as we went along. When we first started, we assumed that we would just be looking to focus on condition assessments, that there is some centralized database somewhere that we can then go, okay, let's go revisit these sites, document them, take some photos to see, you know, what archaeology was found in the past, what still exists today, and what's the condition of it today. That was our goal. When we realized that there are no centralized databases, then the goal became, okay, let's make a centralized database for everything that was found in the city. So each city or each site will kind of need to be examined on its own. So if we try to package what we did and apply it to other sites, it will need to be a bit more standardized, I guess is the easiest way to put it. We need to be able to come in, assess, figure out what needs to be done, and work towards sustainability. So this should be an effort of capacity building. It's not sustainable for an external team to come in, do an assessment, produce results, and then leave. It's excellent that, you know, Sayantani was able to coordinate and collaborate and bring on board the DGA members that ended up doing a large portion of the data entry, they did all of the condition assessments. So they revisited the sites and took photos, determined their, you know, their location, their current status, and they saw the benefit. So they started to say, you know, this is very important. You know, this is something that needs to be done in a much more standardized way at other sites. Because the archaeology of Beirut is so dense, and because urbanization happened so quickly at the city over the past, you know, essentially the 20th century, the same way that it happened at a lot of other coastal cities in Lebanon, means that a lot of the sites are destroyed. So our results showed from the condition assessments that I think there's a survivability of sites of around 85. So 85% have been destroyed. And I think it's around, I need to check the data again, but I think around 90, close to 90%, maybe between 80 and 90% is because of construction and development, whether it's for private construction or for roads or a combination of the two. That was kind of the main result. And it's not surprising, and it's not something that people didn't know before. Now we have quantitative data that has percentages, facts, figures, photos, results that people can look at and not ignore anymore. Now we have the actual numbers to back up what a lot of people have been saying over the years, and to really show there is a need for not just preserving, so having a better system of you know, joint planning, urban planning, that accounts for all the rich heritage of Beirut and doesn't just respond to developments that are being popped up. So hopefully this allows for more regular visits to take place at different sites. It allows for a higher degree of preservation because you have follow-up on who did what and when they did it. And this is all digitized. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, in some archive in Sidon or some closet in a distant city. It is now uploaded onto a server that you can access instantly.
Wow, thank you Sayantani and Nassim for telling us all about this amazing project in the port of Beirut and the archaeological data that you're collecting. Really, really exciting and obviously critically important for understanding the archaeology of the region. And I really hope that we can do more projects like this in Lebanon in the future. I'm Dr. Lucy Blue. I am the Maritime Archaeological Director of the Honor Frost Foundation, and I'm very happy that you've joined me today on the Dive and Dig News Podcast. Thank you for listening, and please try and tune in the next coming days and weeks to another exciting episode from across the globe telling you about the latest stories of maritime archaeology. Thanks for listening.